Well, good evening, everyone.
Always thankful for the opportunity that I have. Thankful for the reading that Nikki just read for us. A few general announcements and things I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about doing that ice cream social again that we did last year. Thinking about July 28th, we did it after Sunday evening services. If there's any major conflicts that you guys can think of that I'm missing, maybe let me know after services, July 28th after Sunday evening services. Just let me know, because sometimes I overlook stuff, I try to look at the fair and, try to consider, I don't know if that's too close, but just let me know. Another announcement that I have is, which I've talked to the elders about, is I've actually got a new job. It won't affect this position, with me here at Sandyville, but I actually got a job with West Virginia University at Parkersburg, and maybe some people have already known that, but I'm actually going to be teaching there. And my dad's there, and I'll basically be teaching some of the education classes there, and hopefully it'll actually free up some of my time. I'm actually looking forward to it, but that's just for you know. And then another announcement, Sarah had an ultrasound the other day, and we're pretty sure that we're having a boy. I say pretty sure, but it didn't really matter to us either way, but I've always said that, God, he's got things planned out better than I do, so whatever he, decides that Sarah and I should have, that's what we'll have, and we'll do the best we can with rearing those children as best we can. This evening we're going to talk about glory. You hear that term thrown out a lot, but if I ask you to define glory, you might struggle for a minute. And in fact, when I was planning this lesson, I actually thought about that. If someone, came to me and said, Kyle, define glory for me, I think I might, take a few minutes and consider that question. But you hear that thrown around a lot. Sometimes people say to God, be the glory. Give God the glory. You hear that often in our society. We need to glorify God. But what does that mean exactly? What does that term have with it? What does it entail? How would you define that to another individual? I tried to research this word, tried to, get a grasp on it, maybe perhaps better than I have in the past. And when you start reading, the Greek word that many times is there in place of glory and glorify, and you start trying to break down these words, it's hard to find a word when it means two or three things. And I think glory is actually one of those words. When you break it down and you start looking at those words, it's the words that they say it means, it actually means two or three things. Example, if you look at the meaning of glory, it means to magnify or praise. Well, that's two words right there, to magnify or praise. But then you go on and you get into like glorifying, and it means to honor or acknowledge God and his attributes and his acts. Glory or glorifying is kind of a hard word to define, and this is kind of how I've kind of placed it in my head, is just trying to read all these definitions and trying to put them together as best I can, trying to make sure I understand what glory means, the glory that we read about in the Bible. I think glory means praise. When we're glorifying or looking at something that deserves glory, we're talking about something that we're willing to praise. But it goes beyond praise, it also goes to honoring as well. Something that we would glory, we would also honor. We would show that respect to. But I think it also entails giving the appropriate credit. And so when we're thinking about glory, it involves praising, yes. It involves honoring and respecting, yes. But it also involves giving the appropriate credit where it belongs. We're going to talk a little bit about glory. Two major questions that we're going to look at and consider. Number one is, why give God the glory? Why give God the glory? Why give God the praise? Why give God the honor? Why give God the credit? Why would you do such a thing? The first thing that popped into my head when I was considering this question is, does God even need us to glorify him? Does God need our praise? Does he need our honor? Does he need us to give him credit? And I think we find that answer actually in Acts chapter 17. In Acts chapter 17, we find Paul talking to these individuals about an unknown God. These people are worshiping this unknown God, and Paul goes, actually, I know the God that you should be serving. And in Acts chapter 17, verses 24 to 25, I think we get an important observation about the God that we serve. In Acts chapter 17, verses 24 to 25, says, God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. The God that we serve does not need our praise. He does not need our honor. He does not need us to give him credit. Now, I want to be very careful by the way I'm phrasing this. He does not need it. Because if you look at other gods, particularly the gods that people were serving around this time, the idea was that the gods absolutely needed this. Like, if you stop worshiping your false god, if you stop worshiping them, it's like they would lose power. Then they wouldn't be as strong as they would be without your praise. They wouldn't be as strong without your honor. They wouldn't be as strong without your credit. But the God that we serve has no need of those things. Now, saying that, I think there's some other important observations that we have to consider. Just because God does not need us to glorify him, that does not mean that he doesn't desire us to glorify him. And that he does not, this doesn't mean that he does not deserve us, that he deserves us to glorify him. So he doesn't need it. But I think that when we do look at the Bible does teach us that God does deserve glory. He deserves our praise. He not only does he deserve our praise, but he deserves our praise. He deserves our honor. He deserves those things tied to the idea of glory. But he does not need it. As some of the false gods of the time said, you know, they need it. If they don't have praise, they won't exist anymore. If they don't have the honor, they won't exist anymore. But the God that we serve has no need of those things. But I think that our God does, he is worthy of those things. I think Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11 puts it beautifully. When we think of our God, I don't think he needs the glory, but he certainly deserves the glory. He does not need the glory, but he deserves the glory. Let's look at Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. It says, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." Certainly our God does not need these things to thrive off of. He doesn't need it, but he deserves it. God deserves to be glorified. I just love that passage in Revelation chapter 4. "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." Those things alone, when we look at God, he is deserving of our praise, he is deserving of our honor, he is deserving of all credit for those things which he has done. But I think there's another aspect here. God desires man to glorify him. Now, he's not going to get weaker if we don't, but certainly God desires us to glorify him, to give him the praise, the honor, the respect, those things which he deserves. In Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 7, it says, "Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him, yes, I have made him." Here in Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 7, it says that he has created individuals for his glory. Wait, what? He created individuals for what? For his glory. He has created individuals that are going to glorify him throughout their lives by doing what? Praising him. Not only praising him, but by giving him honor and respect. Not only giving him honor and respect, but giving him the appropriate credit that he deserves, being the creator of all things in this universe. So does God need these things? Certainly he doesn't need these things, but he deserves to be glorified. He deserves to be glorified. Not only does he deserve to be glorified, but he desires us as his creation to glorify him, to put him in the appropriate place in our lives, to show him the praise that he deserves, the honor he deserves, the respect he deserves. But so many times we lose that, is that he doesn't receive the glory that he should in our lives. Throughout our lives, perhaps we get lost in the worldly things. We lose our focus. We lose those things that are truly important. And one of those things that's truly important is our God that we serve. He is worthy of being glorified. You know, you think of God just as the creator. You know, he deserves to be glorified in terms of that fact alone. He is our creator. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14, it says, "You formed my inward part. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. See, the psalmist here in Psalm 139 is reflecting on the fact that God is the Creator. And reflecting on all of those facts. Reflecting on the idea that God was there at the conception, that God was there throughout the process. And he acknowledges God as his Creator. And he says, I will praise you. I will glorify you. I will give you the praise. I will give you the honor. I will give you the respect. I will acknowledge you and put you in your appropriate place. Are we glorifying God the way that we should? You know, God the Creator, you know, He created us. He created man. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28, we see that God tells us that we were made in His image. I don't think that's something that we always linger on and reflect on. We were made in the image of God. To glorify God by doing things that He would want us to do. Genesis chapter 1, 26 through 28, it says, And then God said, Let us make man in our image. According to our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in His own image, and the image of God He created him. Male and female He created them, then God blessed them, and God said to them, Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and everything that moves on the earth. We were made in the image of God. And God being our Creator, when we put Him in perspective of that, how could God fall into any other, you know, situation or bracket or a category or ranking than number one in our lives? He is worthy of glory, honor, respect. He deserves all credit for all things. He's given all things life. He's given us life. We look around at all creation, and I like traveling around, and there's a lot of places that I like to go. I've been to Canada and to the ocean, and I travel around, and there's just moments where you're out in nature, and you just look at something, and you just talk. For a moment, you're just caught, and I find myself thinking, there is no way this was by chance. You know, I found myself, you know, standing, looking over the ocean, the waves coming in, and I just think to myself, there is no way that this was by chance. I stand on the mountains, and I look out over the rolling hills and all the trees and all the things that I can see from a high point. I just think, there is no way that this was by accident. You know, the creation that is around us declares God's handiwork, the things that He's made, and He is certainly worthy of glory, worthy of praise, honor. He deserves all of the credit. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, it talks a little bit about the creation. It says, For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. God created all these things. He is worthy of glory. He is worthy of glory. How arrogant we are sometimes, you know, when we don't put our lives in proper perspective and we forget that we are the creation. We were created by God, formed by God in our mother's womb. How arrogant some people are in our society that look to heaven and say all these things and take God out of His appropriate place of glory and try to put Him on an earthly plane. Try to compare Him to earthly things in a way that they're not trying to be respectful. In a way that they're not trying to praise. In a way that they're not trying to give God credit. I like what it says in Romans chapter 9. In Romans chapter 9 verse 20, it says, But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Who are you, the creation, to reply against God? Will the thing say to him who formed it, Why have you made me like this? Does not the potter have power over the clay? You know, it's interesting in our society, our clay is running around and telling the potter what he's done wrong. I mean, really, if you look around our society in all kinds of different ways, when we look at, the transgender movement, you know, we look at these individuals and they're going to different places and they're saying, you know what, I know God, I know I was born a male, but I feel like I'm a female. What are they doing? They're looking at the Creator and saying, I don't have any respect for what you've done. I don't have any respect for how you created me. I don't care what you think. I don't care what you say. I'm just going to go along with what I want to do. And that's what our society doesn't only do with that issue alone, but all kinds of issues. They say, enough with God. Enough with the Creator. I don't need that. I don't want that. Let me go throughout my life without that burden, without that hassle of such a person over me. But certainly God is deserving of glory. because he's the creator, and then some other aspect that we have to consider at some point is he is our savior. That he sent his son, Jesus Christ, here to die for all of us. John chapter 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When we look at God, why gives God glory? Because he's everything to us. Not only is he the creator, but he is the savior. He has created us, and he has offered a path through our problem of sinning and falling short of the glory of God. He has offered this avenue to us where we can be saved. So why do we give God the glory? Because he deserves it. He's the Savior and the Creator. Not only that, but he desires us to glorify him. God desires us to glorify him, and he is the Savior and he is the Creator. But one thing that I think we should emphasize that separates the God that we serve from other gods is I don't think God needs it. He doesn't need it in the sense that he thrives off of it, but he will be glorified because he deserves it. He will be glorified because he desires it, and those that follow him are more than willing to give him the praise, honor, and credit that he deserves. You know, we could think of many other reasons to glorify God. We could get into all of the ways that God has offered things to us, blessed us in our lives. We can think of so many reasons that we could praise God. We can think of so many reasons to honor God. We can think of so many reasons in our lives where we can look and we can say, you know, it is appropriate to give God credit here. So that's the first thing I'd like to discuss with you, man, is why you can give God the glory. Well, he's the Savior and he's the Creator. Number two that I think that we should consider is how do we glorify God? Now, I think this is a challenge because when you start looking at the definition of glory, there are multiple things that fall underneath that. We have the idea of praising. So certainly we have glorified God today by assembling together and worshiping in a way that is appropriate. We're giving him praise. But also we have that idea of honor. Are we giving him the appropriate respect that he should have? And are we giving him the credit where he deserves credit? And really, when we look at all our lives, we realize that God deserves credit for so many things in our lives. Are we showing God the glory in the appropriate ways that he would want us to? You know, one way that I think that we can show God, and one way that we can glorify God is make sure that we believe in God and we put him in the appropriate spot in our lives. Is God number two in your life? Because if God's number two in your life, you're probably not glorifying God in an appropriate way. You've taken away some of the praise that he should have. You're taking away some of the honor that he should have. You're taking away some of the credit that he should have. And what you're doing is you're replacing something else. So do you believe in God the way that you should? Do you believe in God as the creator of the universe, the one that has offered us this plan that we can be with him for eternity? Do you believe that? And will you glorify him and put him in his appropriate place? In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, it says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. Do you believe God enough to put him in his appropriate place? You know, when we become Christians, one of the things that the Bible teaches us is there's a confession to be had there. A confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. When we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and we go forward with our actions of repentance, and we come to the point of confession, confess and glorify God. It's acknowledging God. It's giving God the appropriate respect and honor. It's saying, yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I'm putting him in his appropriate place in my life. Are you glorifying God in ways that are right? You know, it really goes beyond believing. There's a lot of people that go around and they believe that God is who he says he is. But it goes beyond that, doesn't it? It goes beyond into our actions. Because when you look at glorify, praise, honor, you know, respect, giving him the appropriate credit that he deserves, I don't think you can appropriately glorify our God in heaven if you're not willing to do the things that he says. There's a lot of people out there that believe that God, that there is a God out there, but a lot of people out there will not do the things that God wants them to do. We forget of John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. You know, we look at the Christian life, and what God is really wanting us to do is to be like Jesus Christ, his Son. And when we're like Jesus Christ, the Son, who are we like? We're like God. Not in terms of that we're perfect individuals. Not that we haven't made mistakes in our life, but the call of the Christian life is to try to be as much like Christ as possible, and being as much like Christ as possible, we become as much like God as possible. You think of Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loves me and gave himself for me. What do people see from your life as you go around in your day-to-day activities? What do they see when you're at work? What do they see when you're at the grocery store? What do they see at family functions? What do they see? What do they see on the weekend? Do they see Christ in you? See, God has created you, and God wants you to be as much like His Son as we possibly can be. It's not that we won't make mistakes. It's not that we won't slip up. We will. But it says, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ that lives in me. When we walk around our streets, when we walk around our community, people, to some degree, when they look at it, they should see our actions and say, something's different about that person. And hopefully, they go the next step and say, you know what, they kind of seem like that Christ guy in the Bible. They seem to talk like him. They seem to use the same words that he does, the same phrases. The way he acts, the way he conducts himself, the way that he conducts herself. Do people see Christ in us? Because when people see our actions that are Christ-like, who do you think is getting glorified? Who's going to receive the praise, honor, and glory when they look at our actions? Now, we've got to be careful because sometimes people, and the Bible cautions about this, is actually this can go the wrong way. And sometimes you can do things that are very good in this life, but you've got to take the credit. And I think sometimes people use this phrase all the time, and a lot of times they're hiding behind it, and actually they're trying to get as much credit as they can for themselves. See, glorifying God is nothing necessarily really about yourself. It's all about God. Every little bit is about God. Because when I go out to the communities and they see me and they see my actions, they see that I'm like Christ, and you got to give the credit to God. God saved my life. Christ has changed my life. I'm just trying to follow His path and do the things that He wants me to do. You don't think that God wants our actions to align with what the Bible teaches? You don't think that the actions that we do day in, day out affects the people that are around us and the way that they perceive us? And when we do those actions and people see those actions, who does it glorify? And where should the credit, the praise, and the respect go? Do we miss that? 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 through 11. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 through 11. It says, as each one has received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. When I look at 1 Peter chapter 4 there, verses 10 through 11, it says, you know, you're going to have some gifts. You're going to have some abilities. And when you go out to the world or whenever you're doing things throughout your life, who gets the credit? Who should be getting the credit? It says, if anyone ministers, if anyone serves, if anyone speaks, where should all the credit eventually go? All the credit. It says that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. That our actions should align with Christ's actions. Christ's actions are in accordance to what God wants. And when we do that, God can be glorified. God can be praised. In the sense of the credit going to Him, in the sense of honor and respect. As we go throughout our lives, we do it that way. Then the things that we are doing are very important. All the little things that we are doing are very important. And all those little things that we do day out, day in and day out, are pointing to Jesus Christ, pointing to our Father, pointing to our Creator. Are we doing what God has designed us to do? Are we doing the thing that God wants us to do? We all have various gifts. We all have various abilities. Are we using them to glorify God? When the accolades come our way, are we too quick to look to ourselves, or are we looking to God to pass on the credit? You know, it's interesting. When the Bible talks about sin in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, what does it talk about? What does it say about those individuals? It says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, it says, those who sin and fall short of what? The glory of God. You're falling short of the standard of God. You're falling short of what God wants. You're falling short of directing all of the glory to Him. Sin and fall short of the glory of God. sin is certainly what God doesn't want in our lives. It certainly an abnormality when it's talking about the Christian life and the way that God wants us to live our lives. Whenever we sin, guess what? That doesn't point to Jesus. When we sin, it doesn't point to God. Now, throughout our lives, are we going to make mistakes? Yes, we're going to make mistakes. But the idea is, are you a picture the way that God would want you to be a picture of His Son? You know, you're God's handiwork. God created you. And you know, there's a lot of things that we create throughout our life. You know, sometimes we create art, or sometimes we create a house or something like that. And in some degree, I think it's like this. God created us, and what does God want us to do? He wants us to do what we were designed to do, what He wants us to do, which is live the Christian life to the best of our ability. But you think of a painting for a second. You know, the painting's on the wall in the museum, and people walk through, and they look at that painting, and they say, wow, that painting is beautiful. That painting is amazing. And then where does the credit go? They start looking to the author. You know, they start looking to the artist, and they say, that painting is beautiful. Who painted that? When people look at us, the picture that we are when we go out in the world, when they see us, when they see our actions, do they wonder where we came from? Do they wonder who our Creator is? Do they wonder why we act the way that we do? You know, you think of a lot of times that each year they'll come out with new automobiles, you know, new cars, and sometimes they'll win prizes. When those vehicles win prizes, whether it's in safety or whatever it is, what do? They go back to the maker, the manufacturer, and they say, look, this manufacturer made this vehicle. They made this truck with these safeties, and all of the glory goes back to the Creator. Do we live our lives considering that our actions, everything that we do in relation to our Christian life, as we walk throughout the streets of our communities, as we go into the workplace, as we go to these different places, that people are watching us, looking at us, and that from that, where do their thoughts go? Do their thoughts go to Almighty God? Do their thoughts go to Jesus Christ and the effect that it's had on our lives? See, God has created us, and I don't think it's a mistake that when we think of that analogy and we look at that, God wants us to do what He wants us to do, just like any creator would. You know, if I made a car to do this and it wasn't doing that, I would be disappointed. Same thing with us. When God has created us and He wants us to live the Christian life and we don't do those things and we slip up and make mistakes, it's not that God doesn't love us anymore, but He's disappointed. We're not doing those things that He would want us to do. You know, something I also think that Christians have to consider is that we have a great opportunity to glorify God when it comes to the trials in our life. When it comes to the tribulations in our life, we have a great, great opportunity to glorify God. I think of Paul. In Philippians, he's in prison. And Philippians chapter 1, verse 12, it says, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. Paul says, you know what? I'm in prison. It's a bad situation. But you know what? It's worked out for the furtherance of the gospel. You know when trials come into your life, sickness, disease, all these things that can happen to you, you know that can actually work out to glorify God. You know, I can think of a few Christians in my life, and as their life came to a close, you know, one individual with cancer, and his body was just deteriorating day in, day out. It was one of the quickest things. He was in church, you know, Sunday 1 month, and then he passed away a month later. 4 weeks he was gone. The cancer was so aggressive, they couldn't stop it. 4 weeks he was gone. It was 4 weeks that he was in the hospital. The nurses always commented on how he had a positive demeanor. He was very positive in the trial that he was facing. He was positive. He was always nice. He was always kind. He never lashed out. Even though he was in a horrible situation, he had all these things that were happening to him. His wife, he was actually middle-aged at the time. And, you know, had a family, you know, there was a lot going on. Through that trial, they saw his joy. They saw that he had a different demeanor than other folks. And you know where their minds went? Why is this guy like this? Because of his God. Because of the God that he serves. See, through our trials and our tribulations, it's easy to get depressed. And even when you look at Paul in the prison, you think, you know what? He's in a horrible situation. He should be depressed. He should even be suicidal. I mean, he's in prison. And what do we see Paul doing? He's rejoicing and he's spreading the gospel message to those that are at that prison. We can use a lot of our trials and tribulations to glorify God. to give God the credit, to give God the honor, to give God the praise. Many Christians that have went through many terrible sins, they went through serious pain, they went through serious loss, and through these trials and these dark moments actually give an opportunity for us to glorify God, to point to God, to say that God is the way, that God is a big piece of my life, and this is why I act the way that I do, these are why I do these things, this is why I care, and I try to love my neighbor, and I try to do these things even in dark times. It's a great chance that even in our trials, we can show a light to eternity to those that are around us. We can glorify God in our lives by living the Christian life. You know, you think of our lives and all the things that God has blessed us with, particularly here in the United States. In James chapter 1 and verse 17, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. You know, think about all the blessings in your life. Wouldn't you say all your blessings come from God? Then every single one of those blessings can be used in some way, some form, some fashion to glorify God, to praise Him, to give Him the appropriate honor, to give Him the appropriate respect, to give Him credit, to point constantly to Jesus Christ and the God that we serve. And then we turn to Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, a passage that we're all very familiar with. And you know what? You find that word glorify right at the end. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. It says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It's been good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled under the foot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, that it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. There's that word again, glorify. To give God the praise, the honor, the respect, the credit that He deserves. Christians are not supposed to be a hidden people. A people that are hidden away, that no one ever sees how they live, their life, the way that they act, the way that they treat others. We're not supposed to live a hidden life. If we do, that life in many ways becomes useless. I'm not saying that there are situations in the world where hiding for an occasion, but hiding what we are. Christ lives in us now. If you hide yourself, you're hiding Jesus Christ from the world, right? Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. It's not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. If you try to hide yourself from those that are around you, those in the workplace, those as you travel and go other places, as you travel throughout the world, if you hide yourself, if you're living the Christian life, you're hiding Christ. And if you're hiding Christ, you're hiding God the Father. And certainly that doesn't give God any glory. It says that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. It's not one of these where I'm so great, I'm so good because I'm doing all these things. It says, look at the God I serve, look at Jesus Christ and how He's changed my life. How He's changed my life and affected my life in so many ways. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, it says, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Are you glorifying God in your life? Are you giving Him the praise, the honor, the credit that He deserves? Certainly glory is perhaps a word that's complicated, perhaps I don't have the firmest grasp on it, but you think about this idea, are you hiding yourself from the world? Hiding yourself from the world to the point where God is not glorified. God is not acknowledged as the Creator. God is not acknowledged as the Savior. And that's exactly what Satan wants. He doesn't want people to see Jesus Christ. And you might be the only chance for someone to see Jesus Christ. May God be glorified because He is certainly worthy of those things. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian. You know, nothing glorifies God probably more than that process alone. You have to acknowledge that you need God, that you're dependent on God, and that God is your only chance, and that through His plan, you can be saved. What a way to glorify God, to give Him the honor and the credit that He deserves, and saving you, and making sure that when the judgment day comes, you can say, well done, good faithful servant. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian. Perhaps you need to pray for the church. We would love to help you any way that we can. You know, you think of so many things that we do throughout this life, it's easy to lose perspective, but certainly God is worthy to be glorified. If you're subject to Lord's invitation, we ask that please come as we stand as we sing.